not going on. Hold on. I don't even know if we're there yet. Oh, wow. Of course.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله على كل حال.
Can't touch this. American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. I welcome you to another broadcast of The Birth of Women here on AM360. We will be discussing love, life, learning, and of course, how this beautiful deen can be healthy and happy to you and yours. Okay, brothers, you know what to do. Grab that remote and head to the other room. It's our time now. This is Dr. Amina Ali, your host for another dynamic show. Are you ready, ladies? Let's go.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister, it's time for another episode of The Birth of Women. I am Dr. Amina Ali, your host. Welcome to the March schedule of The Birth of Women. This month's title, Spring Fling, Who Are We Really Taking to Bed? This is a parental advisory month. Spring Fling, who are we really taking to bed? Now, we're not talking necessarily to physical bed, but all month long, we're going to talk about the things that we love and we're intimate with, we have a love relationship with, we are physical with, emotional with, and the many, many ways that we can be better in our love making with ourselves and others. And tonight's episode, inshallah, will not fail. We're going to be talking about the chosen lover, our type and our kind. You know, we always have two types of lovers, our type of man and our kind of man. We're going to break this down a little bit deeper tonight. And we're probably going to step on some toes as we always do. So I apologize ahead of time. But before we get started, we got to give Allah his due. Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu, Iyaka nasta'in, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladheena An'amta alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi alayhim, Waladdallin. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much, sisters. We are going to be talking about our type of lover and our kind of lover. Now, if you're like me, it took you a while before you figured out the two. I done been through a husband and some children, divorced, did the I'm going to do me time, tried to commit again, didn't work. Then tried a third time. Now, this time it worked, but did it. And you just realize, look, you know, with all of these failed attempts, or at least you try and it just didn't work, the experience is enough to either discourage you or encourage you. Well, I'm at the point now where I think I'm discouraged from doing it wrong and encouraged for doing it right. So I had to figure out what was my type and my kind of man. Now, I remember years ago, I was always talking to sisters about how they vibrate their marriage, how they resonate in their love life. And I would ask deep questions, questions some of them didn't want to answer, and then questions some of them were like, Amina, I was like, what? They were like, why are you asking me a question like that? Because I want to know, clearly. So either they weren't able to answer, weren't ready to answer, or they had never delved into it enough for them to have an answer. Well, that got me thinking, if all these women are doing this and supposedly doing it right and they don't have an answer, then maybe I just need to leave it alone. Maybe I just need to let it happen, happen. Well, the law is not that irresponsible. He doesn't just let things happen. He plans these things. He creates these things. Well, we're not a law, so we cannot do what he does, but we can be cautious in what we do. We can be planning our greater content in what it is that happens, and we can stay firm in prayer. Well, prayer changes things, and prayer changed my mind in wanting to do this again, and that was the grace and the blessings of Allah. Well, what did he teach me in that time? From the time I said, oh, heck no, I'm not doing this no more, to, well, maybe, at least try it again. There's no wrong way to get to the right answer. So let me figure this out. So in my talks with my elders and in my prayers to my Lord, I figured out that there's two types of men. Your type of man and your kind of man. And for the next 20, 25 minutes or so, we're going to talk about that type. And then we're going to talk about how that resonates with our deen and the way we love. Of course, this month is talking about our choice and our candidacy in love. So we're going to build that bridge, and we're going to cross over to the truth of what it is that we need to have. Let's dig in. All right, so what's a type of man? Your type of man, as we have come to know, is the type of man that is tall, dark, handsome. He's got to have bow legs or big hands or pretty smile, or maybe some dimples. He's got to have a bald head and a full sunnah. He's got to be have that Barry White voice, or he's got to have that Will Downing voice, or maybe just a baritone or two lower than me. He's got to be diplomatic yet secure within himself. All of these things leveled my type of man. And that's what I look for. And everybody I ran across was the same type of guy and with a different name, because I was looking for the external. And the external gave me what I asked for. You know, like they say, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. And every time I asked for it, it showed up. And every time it showed up, I went for it, lock, stock, and barrel. Like I never even was hurt before the last time. And I jumped in both feet. All of my knowledge and all of my wisdom just said, move forward. Don't waste time, but don't be hasty. And I did it twice. Twice that we know of, twice on record. Now, if I decided that you weren't right for me, then I dodged that bullet. But for the two that I committed to, I really did that. I did that. Now, the first one, I'm not gonna blame him nor I. We were young. We were kids. I think we were in our late teens, early 20s, and we just decided to make it a go of it because we were Muslim and we didn't know nothing else. And then the second time, I got to blame me because I should have been a little bit more cautious, a little bit more direct, and a lot more patient. But your type of man will make you impatient. Your type of man is that set of irregular morals, codes, scripts, and self-talk that we give ourselves that makes us choose the man that we are physically attracted to. The one that reminds us of our father, the one that reminds us of what we miss as our father, the one that makes us wonder why we even had a dad, because we keep marrying our dad and it's not working. This type of man is a construct of what worked in the past. He is an amalgamation of the things that we did to ourselves, for ourselves, and around others that supported us, and they allowed him in. So because there was a physical construct, and because that physical construct seemed to be pleasing, because there was an external attraction that allowed you to feel something you may have not felt a year ago, 2 years ago, for the last 10 years, these are the allowances that allow this type of man to come into our life. Now, is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. Your type of man is not a bad thing. Everybody has to have standards. Even low standards is a standard. But your type of man is not the man that is a forever man. I'll say that again. Your type of man is not the forever man. There is 0.1% of women that married their type of man the first time, and they are successfully happy 50, 60, 70 years. That's 0.1%. And the way I can prove that is how many people you know right now, and I'm going to ask you regardless of your age, how many people you know right now, how many couples do you know right now that are still together, still alive, and still happy that are over 50 years? I'll wait. How many people you know that's over 60 years? How about 70 years? Now, I'm not saying that these people had to be old, but I am saying that there should be more of us, because that would mean that was our parents and our older aunties that still should be together. Now, if you're like me, I can count on half a hand and have some left over how many people that are over 60 years. 50 years, I probably have a solid hand, maybe about 4 or 5 couples that I know that's over 50 years. If you get to 40 years, of course, everybody's inclusive, so we get almost 2 hands. But here's why, and I'm not average. I just deal with a lot of elders. So because I deal with a lot of elders, I deal with elder women that are still married. And why do I deal with elder women that are still married? Because just like in a library, if you want a book, that's where you go. If you want some money, you go to people with money. So if I want a long-term relationship, I got to be around people that specify and are specific in their expertise in a long-term relationship. Now, of course, each and every one of them will tell me, oh, you're just going to have to just have sacrifices, and you're going to have to let some things go, and you're going to have to just deal with him, and you're going to have to do this and do that. And they all have their parameters of what makes them happy. But back then, when we were coming up, when all of us were coming up, there was a specific ethic about getting married. You knew who you were years ago. You knew what you wanted, and you knew what you needed in your life, and you met the person that gave you 9 out of 10 of those things. We didn't shortchange ourselves. Back in the day, we didn't say we wanted a man to do this, 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 and this, and somebody come along and they only give you 1 of the 10 things you asked for, and then you jump into the relationship. No. You would hear grandmama say, boy, you better get away from me with all that mess. If you ain't got this and you don't have that and you ain't doing this, then don't come around me. And then someone was even more feisty. We just buried an elder maybe about a month or two ago, and Sister Samira Sabor, and she's here in Atlanta, New York, and she was in Khalifa. And her husband tells the story so eloquently. And at her janazah, at the repast, he told it again, and he said that he was in his little town in Louisiana, and he went to the well to get some water, and this little feisty woman went in there and said, ladies first, and would always jump in front of him to get some water. And she would always seem to come down there at the time that he needed to come down there. And when they were younger, I guess he said he was like 14, 15 years old when he met her. And she would always jump right in front of him, no matter where he was in line, no matter what he was doing in line, she would always jump in front of him, of all the people. And she said he did that for about a week straight. And he would finally walk up to her, and he said, no, you're not going to jump in front of me in line. She said, look, either I jump in front of you in line, or I have to go all the way in the back, and it'd be dark before I get this water, and I get home. Now, would you want your wife to have this understanding of walking in the dark? He said, no, ma'am. And about 6 months later, he said he married that woman. Now, she said, her story when she was alive, she said, I knew that was the man for me because I knew his family and I knew what he was about and I knew what he was looking for and I knew what school he was going to and I knew what he was planning to do. So it wasn't hard for her to throw her little A game in there and flirt a little bit and do what she did because she knew that that was the type of man for her. And she knew what she had going was enough for him to be pleased with. And back then it didn't take much. Less was more. You didn't have to be flashy and all decked out. You just had to be a good woman from a good family doing good things, and that was enough. And her type of man showed up every day, every other day, whenever they went to that water well, and she would jump in front of him. And 6 months later, they were married. And at the time of her death, she fell down and had she sustained an injury and just never recovered. She had a blood clot that went to her lungs. And she was almost into her 90s. I think she was 88 or 89. And they had been married 70 some odd years. That was amazing. That was an amazing, amazing story. Why? Because she knew who she was, and she knew who he was, and she knew that that man was her type of man to marry. But the definitions have changed since then. The type of man that you needed has to deal with satisfying a lack in your life, satisfying a want in your life. Giving you something you have never given yourself. Trying to make you feel good. He's got to fill a void of some sort. And that void is something that you need to be capable of giving yourself. I can speak, present company included, that when I got married this last time, I looked at what it is that he was. As a retired professional, he was this. He was that. He was this. But I never realized that he never had an identity after he got married, after he retired. He lost his identity, and he lost a part of himself, and that surfaced in the marriage. Now, although I thought I was marrying my kind of man, I realized it was my type of man just a few years older, and I mistook the age, the maturity, and the wisdom for a character change of an upgrade. It actually was a character flaw, but I was so busy trying to find reasons to accept him because of my loneliness, because of the understanding that I wasn't with someone and thinking that if I'm this active in society and in my community, I need to have a husband. And here he comes, strolling in. I need to accept him. I mean, you're a little older. You can deal with stuff. You can deal with this. You can deal with that. Yeah, no, you can't. And when you realize what you can and cannot deal with, you'll realize you don't suffer fools well still. So now you have to understand what you put yourself in, what you got yourself in, and how you're going to get yourself out. And that understanding is because you realize you married an older version of your type of man. That can be kind of scary sometimes because you're never really understanding what that type was until you realize that that type showed up, showed out, and you now by yourself again. That type of man is the man that you stand for in a conversation and keep saying, I love him. No, you don't love him. You love the idea of being with him. You love the idea of being with the good side of him. But if he constantly keeps showing you the bad side, why do you keep holding on? You can do bad by yourself. Why do you keep feeling that you need to validate and actualize this man in some way, shape, or form that allows you to understand that your life is happy? Because it's not sin. It's not happy. It's not happy, and it will not be because you keep marrying the wrong type of man. Your type of man is comfortable for you, but not comfortable for your life, and you're figuring that out each and every time you have a failed relationship. That type of man comes along when you're your most lonely, you're most vulnerable, and it's almost like they smell you around the corner. And once they smell you, they dig their claws in you, and now your weakness and your vulnerability meets the susceptibility of you accepting that same type of man in your life. And now what are you going to do? Now how are you going to brace yourself? Are you going to fall into that trap and possibly have sex with the man? Are you going to fall into that trap and say, well, you know, we're getting ready to get married, so we might as well? Are you going to allow lust and your nafs to circle the barn, as they say, and allow you to question yourself, your morals, your ethics, your insanity at this point? Or are you just going to realize who he is and that it just took you a longer time to figure that out and move on? It's a greater measure to admit to fault early than to stay in it trying to define your fault in that fantasy of a relationship you think you have. Sometimes it takes us that long to figure it out. But even when we figure it out, we're so complacent with that person that now we just accept them and keep them and we're okay. And that's where I think we fall the greatest and hurt the most, because we spend time we can't get back and we waste that time. Your type of man is the man that you have chosen. But what about what Allah has chosen? We're going to pause for a PSA break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Allah's choice for our life and the defining moment when we realize who he is. I think I had that moment. And I didn't realize it. And it wasn't until I was in another relationship that I realized what that moment was and how it actualized. By that time, it was too late. Or is it? Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to talk about the kind of man that we need. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Dr. Askir Muhammad. And I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very core of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses, and that helped us to see an even deeper and systematic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, and to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversation. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their worth, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we're back. You're listening to The Birth of Women here on AM 360. I am Amina Ali, your host, and if you're just joining us, we are talking about the month-long topic of spring fling. Who are we really taking to bed? This is a parental advisory month, and we're, tonight's topic is the chosen lover, our type and our kind of lover. And if you're just joining us, we were talking about just that, our type of lover. We were talking about the type of man that comes into our life over and over and over again, and we see him and love on him and try to make do. And as most women, we try to change him into what we need, and we settle and we underscore our blessings, and we just tell Allah, look, I got this. I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it well with him. And Allah's like, are you serious? And he's looking at you each and every time trying to figure out why you think you know better for you than I do. And each and every time we look at him and be like, Lord, we're going to do this. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it right because you gave him to me. We say that. You gave him to me. You allowed him to show up. You allowed him to come into my life. You made him come into that office. But we never stop and think that maybe Allah did that to see just what the heck you going to do with him. Maybe sometimes he says, okay, well, she says she trusts me. If she says she trusts me, I'm going to throw this man in her life, and I'm going to see what she does with him. He's going to be 8 out of 10 things that she wants, that she knows she deserves, and she knows that she wants and asks for. And I'm going to throw him in there, and he's going to be very distinct because he's only going to give you certain things, and he's only going to give it to you when he wants to give it to you. And you're going to see that as, oh, it's a different person giving me different things than I had the last time. And we're going to fall for him. And we're going to fall hook, line, and sinker for him because we're being given 8 out of 10 different things than we got the last time, but it's still 8 out of 10 things. And we're going to hold on to this man because it is different. And we're going to think because the different things are different that we're given a different man. And we're still going to hold on to that type of man. And that type of man is the man that only gives us 8 out of 10 things. But Allah says, ask me and I give you the desires of your heart. So that means not 8 out of 10. I give you all of them. He didn't put a number count on that. He said, you are to only beg your Rabb. And he says, if you ask me, I will give you the desires of your heart. But we don't ask Allah. And then when we do, we're asking things to, change his heart and change him and make him stop beating on me. No, a snake ain't gonna never stop biting. A tiger ain't going to never stop growling, and a leopard will never change its spot. So you can't ask what Allah has created in its nature to change its nature. You need to change you. That's why it's written, if you see something and you know it's wrong, change it with your heart, mind, and your hand. Because he knows that there are certain things that he throws your way as a test. Do you really trust me to bring you who you deserve, who you want, who you ask for? Or do you just trust your mind and your nafs, and you trust the tangent of the complacency, which he said is a sin, of accepting 8 out of 10 things from this man that you're supposed to be your 100% man? Now, why would you only expect and accept 80% of a man if Allah says, I give you all that I have? So if it's all that I have, he can give you all that you ask for. But we continuously look for that 80% man. That man that gives us 8 out of 10 things, knowing that we asking for them 10 things. So that's that type of man that we keep settling for. But what about that kind of man? What about that man that's sexy but not necessarily handsome? Or he's handsome and he may not be that romantic. How about that 10 out of 10 man that is attentive in the ways that you need it? There when you don't even ask for it, is complimentary to you in your life, accepted by your family, the nice guy. the kind of man that you are needing in your life. What do we do with nice guys? Nine times out of ten, they're either too nice or we don't know how to deal with them and we end up hurting them. Because we've been hurt. We were the nice women given to the bad boys who we were attracted to. And now there's a nice guy that comes along that kind of answers all your questions, but he's just square and plain, and he just doesn't do anything for me physically. So I'm just going to pass him by. And he's the one that's there when the bad boy hurts your feelings. And he sees how the bad boy leaves you stranded and picks you up. And he sees how what it is that you need is really a strong man, not necessarily a strong and virile body. He's the man that comes to you and asks you specifically, are you happy? He's the one that comes to you and asks you, what is it that you want out of life? Now, this man has no ties to you, but he's asking you these questions. He's trying to get to learn you. He's the guy that goes and asks the real questions to those that know you to get to know you. He doesn't ask, oh, how many kids you got and how many times you've been mad. No, no, no. Do you know where she likes to go to get ice cream? What's her favorite pastime when she's not working? Your kind of man will ask questions to get to know you. Your kind of man will allow you to understand that you are equally as important as a relationship as a woman is trying to make it right. He's the one that seems like he's more of an attendant because he's attentive. Your kind of man cares for you, not looks after you or makes sure that you have a roof over your head, and that's important. But this man says, I'm going to put a roof over your head, and I know you like the color blue, so how about we go to the store and you pick a room in the house and you paint it your color? How about I'm going to get you the house that you asked for the room that you asked for, because I know your son is in trouble and I know he needs a place to stay. So why don't we get a house with a basement so your son can come and live with you till he gets on his feet? Your kind of man will allow you to rant and rage because he knows that you're not mad at him. You're mad at life and you need to get that out of you. Your kind of man will allow you to unpack your baggage item by item. And I'm going to go into that for a few minutes. He will allow you to be attentive to you without feeling insecure, left out, neglected, or abandoned. Your kind of man loves you. He's not attracted to you. He's not liking you. He's not wanting you physically. His knobs ain't all blown out of proportion. He respects the dignity of your existence, where you are and the way you are. Here's how we know that. Have you ever seen a couple where the gentleman is real reserved and he's kind of laid back? He may not necessarily be an older man, but he's a more sophisticated and virile man. But he has a woman that's loud and obnoxious and verbose and obtuse. And every time he turns around, she's either trying to get attention or has attention. But every time he says something, she just shuts right up. It don't make a difference what it is or where it is. She could be on her rampage talking to her best girlfriend about what happened Saturday night. And as soon as he says, baby, her whole disposition changes. And she's, yeah. And he says one or two things, and she's like, okay, I'll do it right now. And what does she get in return? She gets that calm in that storm. He knows who she is. He knows what she is, and he knows it's going to take time to unpack all that makes her need attention. But he's secure in his manhood because he knows that it's going to take time to unpack because it took time for her to pack it. And he's going to take that time. And each and every time he sees her in need of that attention or that honing in on the fact that she needs to unpack something, he's going to let her unpack. He's going to let her unpack and unpack and unpack and unpack. And as soon as she's finished, he's going to let her rest and he's going to throw all that crap away because she is going to see that being with him, she don't need to hold on to that no more. Your kind of man is kind. He's the one that'll stroke your hair and let you vent and let you cry and wipe your tears. And he won't try to change nothing in you. He'll let you just be until you get yourself together. Then he'll support that new woman. Your kind of man is not the one that'll treat you right by buying you stuff. He will show you your own worth and your value. Your kind of man will not monetize what he gives to you. The dowry may be a couple of dollars and a Quran. But when you get into that relationship, you're now going to Mecca and Medina. You are making Hajj and you are going to Quranic class and you hitting the masjid every Friday regardless, because somewhere along the line, your life is now rerouted into the fact that you are now able to go to Juma every Friday. Whether you're retired, whether you weren't working, and whether he says you don't need to work because I got enough money for both of us. Now you ain't got nothing to do but be a good Muslim. That kind of man is going to come along when you need him the most and when Allah sees that he is the best timing in that suit. So it's not going to be at your lowest point. It's going to be when you need him the most. Now, people, I know you're saying, like, Amina, wouldn't that be the low? No. Your lowest point is where you call on your Lord. But as you rising from that, and as you getting better, as you getting stronger, as you needing that support, because the Lord done got you through the worst of it, now you got a man that's going to help you ride that wave to that stability. He's going to help you see that you and the Lord got through that. Now this man has come to make your life comfortable. You don't have to suffer like that anymore. Your test is over. He's going to be the reward for you being tested by your Lord. And those that he loves the most, he tests the most. So be clear that out of the end of your struggle doesn't necessarily mean a resolve to your problem. It might mean a partner in that continuum. He didn't end your money problems. He gave you a man with money. That's not ending your money problem, because you still got problems with money, because either your pocketbooks are short or your bank account has more money, more days in it than money. And that means that even if he left today and tomorrow, you still would have financial trouble. So he didn't change your financial troubles. He just gave you a man with money. Or vice versa. You are a woman of esteem, and you are a woman with some money in your pocket. And he gives you a man that allows you to know that the things that you need the most, you can't buy. He is the man that comes to give you that soft kiss on your forehead that you couldn't purchase in a smut shop if you paid it. He's going to be the one that gently strokes your shoulder and says, I love you. Or he's going to cut you off mid-sentence just to tell you the same. He's going to be that kind of man to give you the love that is tailor-made from you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not the man that just makes you feel good, the man that makes you good, that makes you better, that brings you to your Lord. Now, I know some people are saying, well, Amina, that could be the same person. My type of man could be my kind of man. It sure can. But if you don't know the difference, you ain't going to never figure it out. If you don't know that there's a man out here for you that can give you 10 out of 10 things you asking for and then compliment it with 10 more, or the things you didn't even know you needed. That's that gift from Allah. Now, some people want to monetize that and say, oh, he's helping me pay my rent and bought me a house too. Okay, but that house can burn down. Is he going to be there to build another one? Is he going to be there to allow you to have another one? Or is he going to stand with you as that foundational marriage that other people are going to emulate? That thing that nothing can tear apart. That thing that nothing can separate. That kind of man is going to bring that foundation love. And he's going to allow you to know love in another way that you never even heard. You hear him all the time. Girl, I didn't know he was my man. But when I got with him, man, we ain't been apart since. I just knew. You hear people say that all the time. How did you know he was your man? I don't know. I just knew. You can't explain it because it ain't for you to explain. Because if you could explain it, you can derail it. So Allah, sometimes he puts you to sleep in that explanation. And that's what they mean. They talk about that, you know, you came from the rib and that Allah had to put Adam to sleep. Why? Because he was about to give him something good and he didn't want him to try to figure it out or put some parameters on it or put some judgment on it. So he put his behind to sleep and said, look, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do this the way I want to do it and you ain't going to know nothing about it. And just like he took that rib and fashioned that person, and became his mate, that's just how he's going to do you. He's going to put you to sleep in something else. And that sleep is you're going to be going to college, or you're going to be going back to school, or you're going to be getting that new job, or you're going to be on the other side of town visiting a sick person. And he's going to put you to sleep. All you thinking about is getting to the other side of town and getting back home and getting something to eat or finishing that term paper. And that person's going to show up. Just like Eve showed up for Adam, he's going to show up. He's going to show up, and he's going to be that compliment, and you're going to feel something inside of you that is no longer missing. If you notice the story of Adam and Eve, Adam never mentioned that he was missing that rib or that a part of him was missing. If anything, more of him was found, and that's what that kind of man is going to bring, more of you. He's going to allow you to go from a Muslim to a mukmin, to a muksin within that relationship, inshallah. He's going to allow you to grow in iman and taqwa, that akida that we all are searching for. You're going to learn the terms of those things, and you're going to feel it inside of your soul, because you're going to know that whatever it is that he's giving you, it is from Allah, because there's no other way to explain it. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, well, I met him on the train, and I wasn't thinking about going on the A train, and I decided to go on the A train, and there he was. It's not that simple. I'm talking about showing up in your life at the time that you need him the most. And when he shows up, sisters, I promise you, it's going to be a different feeling than what it was when it was just, oh, it was good timing, or as people believe in coincidence. No. It's going to be a whole different feeling on a whole nother level of assurance. And it's going to be a knowing that can only come from Allah. Not that abstract knowing of saying, wow, he sent me somebody that's changing my life and making me feel good. No, a pint of whiskey can do that. I'm sorry. But you got to understand that whatever it is that there is, and whatever happens is happening, and you ain't got to do nothing but breathe. Allah is so good that he'll even make that man take your breath away. And that's something only Allah can do. Just to show you how close you are to Allah in this gift. You're going to smile inside even if you ain't even have nothing to smile about. You're just going to be happy for no reason. Where's that energy coming from? Because you know Allah is with you. And he's proven it through this person he done brought you. We're going to pause for our second PSA break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the assurances from Allah that allows us to love in a different way and allows us to be a better lover. Inshallah.
And now, an important message from the conveners of Imams, associated with the community of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something. Something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as a broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses to help us to see and understand an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement in which we say no more. You must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community, inviting experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? This has been a public service message from CWSC and EM360. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Dr. Amina Ali, and you're listening to The Birth of Women here on AM 360. And if you are just joining us, we are still been talking about our month-long topic, in this international, it's not International Day of the Woman anymore. It is Women's Her Story Month. And we have been talking about our spring fling, not the Stella Got Her Groove Back fling, but who we are really taking to bed. And this week's topic is our chosen lover, our type of man, or our kind of man. And if you're just joining us, we have been talking about our kind of man, the one that answers all of our questions and allows us to believe that Allah is real and that he has blessed us with a true, humane, and dignified gift in this man. Inshallah. I should say, I mean. Because we're going to believe that this man exists in all of our lives. And this man is going to come for us. And those of us that are still waiting, those of us that are still patient and allowing Allah's qadr to be sufficient for our lives, we have to know that no matter how old we are, no matter how bold we are, no matter how mature we are, and no matter how secure we are, there is a man for us waiting for us to give us what Allah has called him to give. And who are we to block that man's blessing? I mean. But understand, sisters, that whatever it is that we are called to get, it will be ours. Nothing that is for us will miss us, and nothing that is not for us will reach us. That is to include our type and our kind of man. Sometimes we see and we dodge those bullets. Sometimes we understand what it is that we have within ourselves, which are gifts and talents, and we use them to promote who we are in this world, and it's seen by certain eyes. And we believe that those certain eyes who can appreciate those gifts and talents are the men that are for us. And that's when we become very wrong in that truth. The men that are for us not only supplies our support for those gifts and talents, but it brings out more abilities within us. He is that man that is going to allow us to know that Allah is in rare form when he gave this gift. You can't explain him, but the only way to attain him is through Allah. Sometimes he will get, and we say, well, you know, I mean, why does he give it to us? Because we ain't ready. We ain't ready. And that's why we pick the one that we think we want, because we trying to fill that void in that gap. And how you know that that man that you picked ain't blocking your blessings? That man that you chose, now you with for the next 3 or 4 years. Now, the man that's for you sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting for you to be finished. Because it's going to be finished. Oh, it's going to be finished. Whether it's 3 years or 30 years, it's going to be finished. And now you're looking back thinking, what did I do? And now the man that's for you, after 30 years, is going to show up and be like, hey, how you doing? And you're going to be so worn out and tired that you ain't even going to be a right for him. But guess what? The man that's for you, your kind of man, is going to be patient. He's going to know, she's for me, so I just got to deal with this. It ain't hard for him because he knows that that's part of the mission, part of the plan. It ain't difficult for him because whatever it is that he knows that he has to do is going to come. But what we need to do as sisters, what we need to do as women, what we need to do as believers is we got to know that Allah has this. Allah is the greatest of knowers, planners, and seers. He is the greatest of providers. He is the greatest of sustainers. And if we understand that, and if we truly get that as women, as Muslims, as human beings, we will know that this person that is for you, the same person that is for me, and the same person that's for the other sisters are going to be there when we need him. Stop choosing. Go about your daily life. Go about your business. Stop looking at this brother twice. You're only supposed to get one look. Nah. Stop trying to find conversation because you're interested. That ain't what Allah had you do in that situation. That's why he put him in there, because he wanted to test you. Go do what you're supposed to do. Go be what you're supposed to be. Again, what's for you ain't going to miss you. So even if you see that man one time walking down the street and you're like, oh my God, how do you know Allah's not going to make that man walk down the street again? And this time he's going to strike up a conversation with you. How do you know that? Ain't nothing in Allah's capabilities able to miss you if it's for you. Nothing. So keep doing what you're doing. And if you pass that man 20 times on that 21st time, it might be that time for Allah to deal with it. How do you know that man ain't dealing with stuff? How you know it's the roles are reversed? You ready to get married and he ain't ready because he got out of a nasty relationship. How do you know that man that's for you ain't waiting for you to come along because you ready, you healed, you better, you allowing him to unpack? your kind of man is going to know that you are this person for you. And he's going to allow you to be who you need to be so that he can be who he needs to be. And the blessing is going to be the true reward. I thank you for this time that you have given with me tonight. Again, everything I say is for me first. And everything I say has been given to me by the elders, and it was for me when they gave it to me. This was actually a therapy lesson from one of my elders. And she was scolding me on my choices in life as far as the matters of the heart. And she was telling me about my type and my kind of man. And I needed to share that with you. She gave me great nasiha and even dalil to back up what she was saying. And this is where the blessings really came, because I had to see Allah in this. And I pray one day you will see the blessings of Allah in the mate that is for you, inshallah. Until the next bad time and the next bad channel, I pray that you and your blessings will be most increased and plentiful. If there's anything that I said that offended you and hurt you, know that it was for me. Please forgive me. And know that I am truly apologizing. If there's anything that is blessed, honored, ordained, and gives you life that Allah is ordaining you to have, then know it is from Allah, and He gives all the praises. Ameen. Until we talk again, I thank you, my sisters, and I love you dearly. Inshallah, we will talk soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the good internet. We don't seek results that are just ordinary, because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC. Ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit CWSC.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group internet. And together, we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Assalamu alaikum.